This is Hash It Out with Jane
is a podcast that supports independent thought, personal responsibility, and social consciousness. Hey there, this is Jane Hash here. Thanks for downloading part two of my interview with the hilarious disability rights activist, Cheryl Green. We're going to talk about her new documentary right after this brief message from our friends at Cryptido, Self-Defense for the Disabled.
Hello there, this is Jarrett Boffman, Vice President of Cryptido Self-Defense and Fitness for the Disabled, a pending 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our mission is to educate the disabled community on independence, fitness, and self-defense. Paul Brailer, the founder of Cryptido, was the near victim of a mugging several years back. It was his self-defense skills that saved him. Paul said, "I was able to defend myself. The mugger fled from him, leaving him safe and with his belongings." It also led Paul to want to start this nonprofit organization. Paul has had many friends pass away from being inactive and not healthy. Through Cryptido and motivational speaking, Paul hopes to inspire others to be safe, to be active, and to keep working on becoming their personal best. Paul eventually wants Cryptido to turn into a YMCA for handicapped people. He envisions Cryptido as a place offering adaptive exercise equipment and classes in fitness and martial arts for disabled people. Please go check out our site at www.cryptido.com. And as always, Cryptido fans rock. Thanks for listening.
And I used to tell them until I started to understand microaggressions and realize how objectifying that is. And so nowadays I tell people, I don't need to talk about that.
Because if you talk about it, you're kind of going through the experience again.
I had somebody one time ask me, oh, you had a brain injury? Was it traumatic? I'm like,
is there another kind?
Yes, there actually is another. I mean, to be serious, there is another kind of brain injury besides traumatic. There are many other kinds. Like, for instance, if you had a stroke, that would not be called a traumatic brain injury, even though you might be traumatized by the event. You could also have meningitis or have a near drowning and get a brain injury. So it is, on a serious note, yes, there are other kinds. But no, there is no... Come on now. What? Would you like me to have PTSD? What the fuck? Like, why are you asking me to recount this for you? The majority of people with traumatic brain injuries who I've ever met in this country and in other countries love to tell the story of how they got hurt and will happily tell you their impairments. And so most people I have met are not traumatized by the question, ooh, what happened to you? And like I said, in the early days, I was happy to tell the story too. Most people are not going to be troubled by this. But like I said, when I learned about microaggressions and started to spend more time with people with other impairments besides traumatically acquired impairments, that's when I started to understand about there's no privacy. You're not allowed to have any privacy. Nobody is expected to respect you. Why should I respect you? You're short.
Right.
You're in a wheelchair. I don't have to respect people. When I started to spend more time with people with other impairments and see this daily onslaught of microaggressions and oppression and outright abuse, I started to frame my rec story in that instead of in the brain injury community. And that's why I get hurt by the question. Most people are not hurt by the question. Yeah, I'm kind of an anomaly in the brain injury community. In not because I'm so special or so great, but because I associate myself more with people in other impairment groups, or more importantly, people with a disability identity, impairment be damned, like whatever. It doesn't, we're not even talking about impairment. We're just talking about disability identity. And that's very different from brain injury identity.
So what do you hope is going to come from your documentary?
I want people to watch and get to know these featured artists and say, yeah, they're people. They're not patients. I want the emphasis to be on isolation and society's response to people with brain injury. The emphasis needs to come off the brain injured person and their impairments and their personal responsibility to get fixed and be normal again. I need the emphasis to be on the social isolation that's created around brain injury, whether that's from the stigma, because there's a lot, mm-hmm. The complete lack of coordinated services, at least here in Oregon. What needs to be fixed is the way we look at disability and the way we look at inclusion and who gets to be included and who we don't care if they're included or not. I have recently partnered with this amazing nonprofit called Headstrong for Life. They're out of Seattle, Washington, and they were founded by Desiree Douglas. She is the mother of a young man living with the effects of a severe traumatic brain injury. This organization is light years ahead of the public's opinion of brain injury and of what people need after brain injury. I still encounter most people think that after brain injury, what you need is more rehab, more medical care, more compensatory strategies and tools so that you can be more normal.
Ooh. That is everybody's objective. What the fuck is normal?
Thank you. Yes, exactly. I find that people start to ask that question after they've acquired a disability. They're like, oh, wait a minute. I'd still like to be considered normal the way I was before. Well, maybe normal is wrong. Like, it's just like, and you've lived with your impairments your whole life, and you're like, yeah, I've known that since before I was born. Jeez, you know, and the rest of us have to slowly catch up. I'm partnering with Headstrong for Life, and they primarily serve youth and young adults with traumatic brain injury and their families. And one of the really innovative things that they do is that they focus on identity. So innovative. Because in the brain injury world, it's very medical. You're either healthy or you're brain injured.
If you have a disability, so, you must be sick.
You must be sick. And there's something, and you must be on your way to fixing it.
Yes.
Or you have a bad attitude.
Yes.
And you're not working hard enough. You don't want it bad enough. It's just so unquestioning. Or Headstrong has this amazing thing called meaningful projects and activities. To you, it won't sound radical in the least, but in the brain injury world, it is radical. And basically what they do is they say, people who don't do all their rehab activities, and I'm not quoting them, this is sort of my interpretation. Uh-huh. If you don't do all your worksheets and rehab activities, it might not be because you're non-compliant. It might be because these rehab activities and structured programs don't speak to your identity. And even though you may have substantial impairments of different kinds, you still have an identity and you still want to engage in projects and activities that speak to and express your identity. And so what they do is they have come up with this formal strategy for working with the young person with a brain injury and their community, family, care partners, whoever, to identify this person's identity, establish what is their identity, establish what kinds of activities would feed that and express it and enrich it. How are we as a group of people going to put this together so that you do that project or activity? I still in my family encounter so much gasping and I don't know what to do and I didn't know that was gonna, oh, I'm sorry, and I didn't know, how could I have known? How could you have known? Ask me, talk to me.
Right.
I'll tell you. I'll answer all of your questions. I don't know. Where am I supposed to go to find out? And it isn't. But it doesn't have to be so scary. And so Headstrong for Life, by making up this format with all this structure for the person with brain injury and their community to use, let's not be scared of any of this. Yes, it's scary to not know where you're going to get money for food, or whether you should go to rehab or pay a bill, or whether you'll ever get these skills back that you really want to get back. There's a lot of legitimately scary things, but walking around, I'm so scared, I don't know how to talk to him, and I don't know whatever. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to us. Don't put that on us. Stop being scared of us. And so Headstrong for Life gives families and gives communities those tools to not being sort of scared and sort of stuck in their, I don't know what's next kind of rut. So we're partnering with them. They are the newest sponsor of the film, financial sponsor and financial backer.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to work with them to actually create some materials so when we screen the film starting in 2015, that I'm actually giving these materials to people who come and say, we are valid community members. Why does anyone have to say that?
Right.
Don't be scared of us. Don't shun us. Get some tools under your belt for how to learn to accept us as we are, communicate with us, not for us and not at us, and work with us on things that relate to our identity and our interests and our creativity. People think someone with a brain injury is so fragile and you can never give them feedback. And I've had people, family and friends, tell me, I don't know what to say to you. I had somebody, and this is a real microaggression, somebody say, I don't always want to give you help when you ask for it because I don't believe you really need it.
Then why the fuck would you ask?
And they think it's a compliment. Oh, she doesn't really need help. No, listen, this is called advocacy, self-advocacy. I'm telling you, I can't do this. That is not an attitude problem. I want your help with it. I just told you what I want. I want your help. No, you don't really need help. You're just saying that.
Because that person knows more about what your needs are than you do.
And I think they think it's a compliment when they say, oh, no, you don't really need that. You're competent. Well, I damn well know I'm competent. But competent people can't do everything on the planet that they want to do. It's not a matter of competence. It's a matter of, I know my limits and I know I can't accomplish this. I mean, Jane, if you said to somebody, hey, I can't walk up the stairs, would anybody say to you, I'm sure you can. Don't limit yourself.
But when
you have something that's not apparent, some kind of non-apparent impairment, and you say, I can't do something, or I'm not able to do it, or I need help with it, people just love to go out of their way to tell you, don't limit yourself. Don't hold yourself back. I'm sorry, that is a big old microaggression. You just shut me down. Certainly in my family, I've been allowed, since the brain injury, to get away with a lot of stuff. Oh, it's the brain injury. We shouldn't say anything to her. And I tell people, and I've told my mom, and I've told people, you are obligated to tell me when I'm acting like a jerk. Because guess what? If you don't give me that feedback and I don't recognize it, I won't change. So if you want me to be less of a jerk, call me out when I'm being a jerk so that I learn to recognize it. And they're like, just glassy-eyed. Now, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. If you hurt my feelings, the risk is that I'll get more overblown and I'll yell more and you'll feel bad. But then I might learn to recognize, because I had to relearn this stuff. Like, my partner had to teach me that when you scream the word sorry, people don't accept that as an apology. I didn't understand that concept. And I would scream, you know, I finally learned you're supposed to say sorry when you do something wrong, but then I'd be like, sorry, like in a really mean, accusatory voice. And he said, but that's not an apology. And he had to explain to me this. And I had to learn to get control of my tone of voice. But I had to learn that concept. And so when people do this whole, it's just her brain injury, I won't address it.
That's more like them looking out for themselves, not for you.
Yes. And they call it protecting.
Yeah.
You know what? Stop protecting disabled people.
You know, that type of protecting is why some disabled people are assholes. Because they've never had to deal with consequence. Because they've been protected to death.
Yeah. And let to allowed to get away with absolutely anything. And I mean, I understand that there are many things in your behavior that can be out of your control after brain injury. I lived it firsthand, you know, slamming my head against the wall for 2 hours straight. I could not stop doing it. I could not stop. And there have been other problems early on that I had where I couldn't stop by myself. But you still talk about it. You still raise somebody's consciousness about it and try to figure out, is this something that you can maybe learn to control or learn to recognize or learn to ask for help? Help me, I can't stop signing my hand. Something. Is there something that you can do?
Where are you in making your documentary?
Well, tomorrow, so let's see, this week I have two more documentary shoots. After this week, I think there's only one more and we're done.
Ooh. Now the name of it, Who Am I to Stop It? What are you stopping?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I love the name of the film. The first thing we're getting at is that internal drive to be creative. And whether that is spirituality, whether that is artisticness, whether it's like a Marxist kind of spirituality to be productive, whatever it is, there is a drive to create and express and just be out there in the world. And what happens in the brain injury world, and I know this is not exclusive to brain injury, I know that, but this movie's about people with brain injury. What happens is we can very easily start to internalize all the negative stuff coming at us, the stigma, the stereotypes, the discrimination, the oppression, the fear people have of being around us. When you internalize that, you stop yourself from thriving and you stop yourself from doing all sorts of things unrelated to impairment. Of course, there's some things maybe you can't do. Maybe you could do them in a modified way or do something else. But when we internalize these oppressions and microaggressions from outside of ourselves, we will stop ourselves even more. I want people to ask themselves, who am I to stop it? Yeah, that stuff is going on around outside of me. I am not going to internalize that. It's not that my job is to overcome adversity and overcome my impairments and overcome my disability. But if you're going to overcome anything, it's that internalized oppression and internalized stigma and that lie, that absolute lie that you can't do anything anymore. People outside you are gonna be haters. People are gonna be nasty. They're gonna discriminate. But don't you fall into that trap and stop yourself. There are things you can do to get yourself involved in things that will express your identity and will affirm your identity. It may be hard to find them. It may be hard to use them. It may be hard to accept them, but they're there. So don't stop yourself.
So are you doing a fundraiser for post-production?
You know, we're currently doing a sponsorship campaign to finish production. Turned in two grant applications in the past 2 weeks to Chicken and Egg Productions and Sundance Institute. I'm really excited, but, you know, I only turned in grant applications, so I have to wait and see what they say. But in the meantime, I am raising money to finish production, and I know we only have three more shoots left, but there's a lot of back production to pay for. And also I've already hired my editor who's going to be editing all summer. So what sponsorship, I think, is a scary word. Some people are like, oh, I couldn't possibly sponsor. It means $1. It means 10,000, anywhere in between, whatever you want. So if people go to whoamitostopit.com, you can see they're on the homepage. There's some clips, some scenes from the movie in production. And then links for donating. So, you know, somebody wanted to be an individual sponsor, corporate sponsor, foundation grants, anything like that. And I've got a page of supporters or sponsors. I can't remember what I called the page.
So using a crowdfunding site like Indiegogo or no?
Not yet. No. Not at this point. I did that to get the initial funding for the film. It's a very stressful way to raise money. It's very hard for the person running it. It is much more work than people on the outside think. So we're not doing crowdfunding, but for people who want to be a sponsor, there's a document on the sponsors page that sort of spells out the different quote-unquote perks. But I'm very much into partnerships, like with Headstrong for Life, you know, becoming a financial sponsor. And then I co-presented with them at a TBI conference. And so I wanted to work back and forth in a partnership kind of way. I do blog posts about sponsors, put them on. I have two podcasts that I will talk about my sponsors on. And I want to be really creative. If somebody, a business or an individual, did a sponsorship, I would want to work with them to promote them in whatever way works for them. This film, we're going to submit it to the big film festivals in the U.S.
Nice.
And regionally. We're going to also submit to disability-specific film festivals. And some people are like, what? That exists?
Right.
Yes, that exists. I've been in disability from reel to reel twice down in Austin, Texas. Cinema Touching Disability has already asked to screen this film, and it's not even done. There's a festival in Moscow and a festival in Belgrade, Serbia, both international disability film festivals. We'll submit there too. So sponsors, when you have your name attached to our film, your name is being seen across the globe. This is an independent film, and we are fiscally sponsored by the Hollywood Theater, which is a beautiful historic theater in Portland. And any donation that's $250 and larger goes to our fiscal sponsor, and then they give us the money. That makes it tax deductible for any donors, and that's a nice perk. I have two streaming radio shows. One is on the Brain Injury Radio Network. Yes, that is real. It is 7 nights a week, all hosted, call-in radio shows hosted by people with brain injuries. There's a few caregivers who are hosts or care partners. But it's a peer-driven, peer-support-oriented streaming radio network on Blog Talk Radio. And then my other one is an interview show, similar to yours, but mine is really long. They're usually an hour-long episodes, and people have told me to knock it off and get it down to length more like yours, but I don't wanna. So those are pre-recorded interviews. That one's called Stories from the Brain Reels. And I made up the word brain reels. It's like a film reel, but also, you know, real. It's real stuff. And it's about your brain.
I like it.
I love the name brain reels.
So let's talk about the gab. And I just noticed that in my notes I made for us, I said the gap. I don't...
Why, thank you, Jane.
So what is the gab? And what's going on with Comedy Central? Are you going to duke it out?
Before I talk about the gap, can I tell you about my gap?
Sure. No, but you can send me a picture of it.
Okay.
I'll be sure to post it on the blog. This concludes part 2 of my interview with Cheryl Green. Part 3 is available for download now. For more information about topics and people discussed in this episode, visit my blog at hashitoutwithjane.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to tell me how amazing I am, send me an email at hashitoutwithjane@gmail.com.